Question one. Has anyone in this room? Yeah? Okay, that is my one and only game station, like, thing that I've ever owned in my entire life. I know. I live under a rock a little bit. I know. I got it when I was, like, 10, I think, somewhere in there. And there's this really cool game. What? Last year? Yeah, I was 10 years old last year, Roger. And they have this really cool game called Crash Bandicoot. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, I used to play this game for, like, hours, and it's really not that cool, but it is at the same time. It's really that cool. Okay, and kind of a secret, I still play it once in a while. Little known fact about Jen. And they have on there these, like, checkpoints, and it's so cheesy. But that's what I thought about when I was doing this, was, like, because it was always so disappointing when you, like, see the next box that you have to, like, hop on. You, like, push a little A, I think it's A, and you, like, push up on it, and then it's like, oh, you don't have to start all over next time you die. And that's a pretty big deal, right? Because you spent, like, hours getting up to this one point. And so that's what I was thinking about. It's really dumb, but that's fine. We'll roll with it. So I think the first thing in having authentic faith and knowing that it's okay to be messy is knowing who Jesus actually is. And I think sometimes we pull things from Sunday school and from, you know, your parents' relationship, those of you that go to Faith Christian, that, you know, you have your Bible class or your friends or whatever, and you kind of have this mashed up piece together of Jesus, and we have a really awesome picture, if you want to throw that up there, Christy. Yeah? I think that's kind of how we, like, view Jesus a little bit sometimes. Like, maybe not exactly like that, but I think that's kind of what our faith looks like. It's like, I have a little bit of Jesus, you know, from the Bible that I think I've kind of heard about, you know, and I know what my parents have told me. I know what, you know, my youth group leaders or pastor has told me, but we don't actually know the real man that's Jesus. We don't actually know his heart. So then we get disappointed when things don't work out, or we don't know what's going on, or bad stuff happens, and we're like, but I had faith in this guy, and, like, the whole time you're putting it in this weird puzzle of stuff. You're putting it into something that's not for yourself, that you've researched yourself, that you've dug into the word for yourself. And so this is a huge topic, and I only have a little bit of time to talk about it, but I just want to challenge you guys that when you go home today, don't leave yourself looking like Jesus, looking like this. Like, actually dig in, go deep, and see who he is exactly in the word, what it says about him, what he promises. And so we're just going to kind of evaluate some of that stuff today. And so I think the first thing is, what is your faith dependent on? And how many of us have gone to, like, either it's Desperation Conference or a missions trip, winter camp, some, like, spiritual, you're like, wow, Jesus was really there. Yeah. And you have this, like, spiritual high almost, you know, and then you come back and you're like, everything is different and everything has changed. And then it's like the next Tuesday and you're back to where you were before. Right. And you're like, well, the experience, the feeling's not there anymore. So whatever, Jesus is good. I'll see you next winter camp, Jesus. And I was in Colorado Springs last weekend, and Pastor Dan Perkins from Desperation was speaking, and he said something that just, like, rocked my world. And it said, and he was kind of talking about experiences and faith, and our experiences don't give us faith, but our faith gives us experiences. Okay, say it one more time. Our experiences don't give us faith, but our faith gives us experiences. So if your foundation of your faith is, like, that one time when I was at winter camp, or when I was in West Virginia or New York, and, like, I met Jesus, and that's a great starting point. I'm not saying those things are bad, because they're not at all. But if that's what you're riding on, if you're just waiting for the next mission trip, if you're just waiting till the next conference, you're not going to get very far, and you're going to have this roller coaster of emotions all the time. That's how I was the first half of my high school. When life was great, Jesus was awesome, and I really liked him, and I was totally on board. And then when life kind of sucked, I was like, I'm not really all about you, God. Like, you're kind of doing a terrible job, and I'm just going to do something else. So so let's go to Psalms 13. Who doesn't have a Bible? If you don't, can I have my hospitality peeps help them out with some Bibles? Got some Abby Zellmer and Hannah Held. Yeah, they have some Bibles. That was an ESV. I'm going to be reading out of NIV. And we're going to go to Psalm 13. I don't have my glasses on, so this will be an interesting, yeah, Katie. Get that Bible. I'll wait till everybody gets it. So Psalms 13, and we're going to, if you have the Bible app, I'll let you cheat and use that. Get a real Bible. They're awesome. Then you can mark it all up, and it's the best. Got to get some cool highlighters. Not Philippians, Psalm. Psalm 13. If you're in Philippians, you're wrong. Okay, so we're going to start in verse 1. We all good? 13. Psalm 13, verse 1. We all out of Bibles? Can you share with a friend? Okay. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give me light in my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. So that's pretty heavy so far, right? Like, it seems like a really kind of a crappy situation. Like, it's just terrible. Like, his enemies are after him. They're going to kill him. He's going to die. You know, it's this terrible thing. And this is what I love about David in all of his psalms, is that he, like, cries out to the Lord, and he gets angry, and he's like, where were you, God? I didn't see you in this situation. Like, where is your goodness? Where is your holiness? And he's like crying out. But then this is my favorite part about David, and it starts in verse 5, and it says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, and he has been good to me. So David's like, but I trust in your unfailing love. And he says that he praises him because he's been good to me. Okay, so the previous verses, he's like, wow, God, you kind of haven't been there for him. And then he's like, but you've been good to me. And I think David had that kind of relationship because he actually knew who God was and not who he was told that he was. Because everybody has this sin filter over our eyes, right? We all have different perceptions and different expectations of what God's supposed to do. And I think when we put that on Jesus and then we don't see him fully fulfill them is when we get angry and we get embittered. And then we kind of walk away from our faith because it didn't match the experience that we thought we had. And I think David was described as a man after God's own heart, right? And he didn't put all his hope in his experiences. He knew that he knew that God was good no matter what. It wasn't dependent on his situation right then that he was possibly going to die. It was, his relationship was dependent on that he actually knew Yahweh. He actually knew God that he walked with and spent time with and played his harp with and worshiped daily. And that is my personal goal as a small group leader and being with you guys. And I feel like I can speak for the rest of the leaders here that we want you guys to have that kind of relationship, to really know Jesus and to walk in that authentically and not be swayed by the ways of the world and not just live out like radically for Jesus in high school, but to carry it with you all the days of your life. And that starts with knowing who God is and not putting your faith and your hope in this weird book and picture, right? And so Andy Stanley wrote this book, and he had a really good point, and he was talking about faith undefined and what we kind of think faith is. Like, it's actually a very simple concept, but we don't really have a full understanding of what it is. And so I think redefining it is what it'd be good. So what is faith not? Do we have any Star Wars people? I know Ryan Medford is. Okay, you know the Force? And like how the Force is like this like weird freaky power that like, I don't even know, you may the Force be with you. And they like grab things with it. And Jake Sanders has never seen it. And that made my heart sad when I learned that in New York. Sorry to call you out, bud. Sorry. But I think we kind of think faith is like that. Like, faith is our obligation to God. Like, okay, God, I have faith that I'm going to get into this college, and I'm putting all my, and I'm having faith in that. This is what we're going to do. And then if it doesn't happen, we're like, oh, but I had faith in you. You're supposed to do it. And then God's like, that's not what I had planned. And you're like, but that's what I had planned, right? So we put, our faith is like a bargaining chip almost sometimes with Jesus. Like, I'm putting my faith in this, so you have to do it now. And that's just not what it is at all. And like, people are like, all it takes is faith and trust. Like in pixie dust, you know, from Peter Pan. And what? Yeah. So I think that's kind of how we view Jesus. And it's like this magical thing that we sprinkle on our life circumstances. And we're like, poof, it's all okay now. And we all know that doesn't always work out that way, right? We have some disappointments. And so what faith is, so Hebrews 11:1, you guys have probably heard it 10,000 times, but we're going to read it again. And it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And Andy Stanley, who wrote the book, he had this quote in there that was just awesome. And it says, the bridge from wishful thinking to faith is a revelation of God and what he promises. And he also defines faith as, faith is confidence in God and who he says he is and not what he will do and all he promises to do. Or, sorry, I read that wrong. And what he will do and all that he has promised to do. That was a lot of him and do's all in there. And so I think faith is actually submitting yourself to God and saying, whatever your will is, I'm going to do it. Maybe it's not going to your dream college. Maybe it's not having your dream life. Maybe it's you're in a really bad home situation and your parents are getting divorced and you're praying against it and nothing is happening. And those situations are so hard. And I wish I had like this perfect answer and be like, well, this formula, here you go. It'll get you everything you ever wanted. But that's just not the case. And so I think faith is submitting yourself to the real person of Jesus and his promises of the Bible. He doesn't promise us necessarily that our life is going to be unicorns and ponies. Don't you hate that? Unicorns and ponies. That's what I want, right? And I think when we see that, we're like, but God wasn't really there. If this bad situation, God isn't really there. Have you guys ever done? I've done that a lot. Like, God, if you're really good, then we were just in New York on a missions trip, some of us in here. And yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And we went to the 9/11 Memorial Tribute Center. And I don't think there's a dry eye in the place. And I am not a crier in the least. You can ask Hannah back there. She's been my friend for like 6 years. And I don't think she's ever seen me shed a tear. And I was in there and you're like reading these. It was like quotes, either like their last words or people like describing like that. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. That wouldn't like a guy call his last message to his wife. And you're reading this, and these are his last words that he's ever said in this horrible situation. And I stood, and I was, like, walking through, and there's, like, these terrible pictures of just the devastation that happened. And we talk about it every year on 9/11 and stuff, but, like, to actually look at real people's lives that were affected in our tour guide. He was actually a survivor of one of the towers coming down. And so hearing his story and like seeing the reality of how bad it was for people. And I was only like 9 when it happened. I wasn't very old, so I wasn't that close to it. But I was like, Jesus, this is broken. Like, you're a good God, and I know that, but why is this happening? Why did this happen? Like, so many people lost their lives. Probably not all of them didn't even know you. And what is going on? Like, where is your goodness in this? And I'm sure that you guys can all have a story that relates. Maybe it's somebody dying. Maybe it's your parents getting divorced. A relationship that ended terribly. Whatever it is, that you have something that you're like, God, where were you? And I think one of the stories that hits home for me in that is last November, some of you guys know this, I did this program called DLA, Desperation Leadership Academy. It's in Colorado Springs. And I was basically living day in and day out with the same 30 people, and that's all I had contact with. And one of them, his name was Tucker, and he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia about halfway-ish through the year and ended up having to go home to Connecticut. And he was just he was an incredible, awesome man of God, loved Jesus, but he ended up taking his own life due to the disease and just couldn't cope with it. His delusions were just so whacked out. He didn't know up from down, left from right. It was just scary. And my friends and I would all get together and just pray for him for like hours and like asking for healing, asking for the Lord to bring him back from this. And it didn't happen. And the night that I found out, it was like right after the Francesca Battistelli concert, I was like, Jesus, you said that you're good. I thought, and it was like the first thing that I questioned, but then I noticed that it was the first thing that I was confident of, that it's not God that was evil in that situation, but it's simply that we live in a broken world And it's because that I had really tasted and seen Jesus's goodness. And I think that through that tragedy that I still have to walk through some days, that I get to see it even more because he's a God that redeems and he's a God that is whole and that he's all knowing and he wasn't surprised by it. And so I really wish that I could like give you some magical answer of like, this is what you do in hard times. I know this is like a really heavy subject, sorry, but I want you guys to know that the reality of living in Jesus doesn't mean it's sunshine and roses, but it does mean that there is hope in the midst of chaos and when you're confused and when you're lonely and when things just really, quite frankly, suck. Like, he is there and he does promise us that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Right? And so that was like this promise that I held on to so tightly for Tucker. And then like, Lord, you're supposed to be our provider and you're supposed to be our protector. And looking at the promises of the Bible and maybe how things pan out don't look exactly how you think. Like, if I'm really honest with you guys, where I thought I'd be with my life right now is not standing on a stage talking to you. Like, this is totally outside of my plan in every way. But I wouldn't pick anything different because I know it's where the Lord has you. And so putting your faith in God and submitting to his will comes through prayer and devotion. And I think I'm not going to steal that one because Jamie's going to talk about that later. But really knowing the promises what are some of the promises that you guys hold on to? Can we shout those out? What are some things that you like have read in scripture that you know are true that are promises? Yeah, Meredith. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11, that he has a good plan for you to prosper you. He's coming back. That's a good promise. His love never fails, from the Lauren Yaffe. Yeah. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I heard somebody else over here talk. Okay. Anybody else have one? What's like something that you really hold on to and life just gets at you? Leaders, you can say it too. Yeah. He who started a good work in us will carry it through. Yeah, that's a good one. He equips the call. Good job, Lord. I got what you're saying. Anybody else? Jamie, you got one? Be strong and courageous. That's good that the Lord is there. Yeah. Chet, do you got one? Put him on the spot. So if you couldn't, yeah, the things of this earth don't compare to the glory that waits for us in heaven. Yeah. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Joy of the Lord is your strength. We throw that one around a lot. It's like on a lot of plaques and stuff. And it wasn't until like probably 6 months ago that I was like, whoa, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Like, it all of a sudden hit me. And I was like, what is this? I've heard this my whole life. Anybody else? Hannah, do you have one? Put you on the spot. She hates when I do that. That's why. You don't have to. He's overcome the world. That's a good one. Yeah. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Yeah, Vanessa. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Do we have any more? We could literally do this all day because there's so many. Yeah. The Lord will provide. Yeah, Roger. Temptation, yeah, yeah, just temptation. Tempt us more than we can handle. I can talk really well today. And if our God is for us and who can be against us, that one really stuck out. Don't you think that sometimes we're like, we think that the whole world, including God, is against us, and you're like, my car broke down, I failed my math test, my girlfriend or boyfriend broke up with me, my mom is yelling at me, you know, like, everything just seems to become crashing down, and you're just like this puddle and this just giant mess, and you're like, nothing is working. Addison's laughing over there. I feel like he knows what. Addison's car. Pray for Addison's car. Oh, it's good now. Just kidding. You can still pray for it if you want. But then, okay, so who knows the book of Hebrews 11? Do you guys know what chapter that is? Like the hall, it's the Hall of Fame. It's not really a hall. It's like a book, but that's okay. And it's like talking about different people, like Abraham and that prostitute Rahab and Joshua and I'm drawing a blank on names. Moses, Noah. What? That guy. And I have no idea how to pronounce that. And it's all these people. Jonah. Jonah's a good one. And they put all their hope into God, but not the circumstance. So when the circumstance looks really crummy, and you're like, there's no way this could ever possibly be redeemed. And then you look at who Jesus is. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake. All these promises that we just said, and I think we forget them at the time that it's happening, and we're like, I don't see it. And because we don't see it, and because we don't experience it, it's therefore not true, right? We're so geared on our emotions, and we trust them so much more than we trust the God that even gave us emotions, that we all of a sudden, our emotions is our reality. And so that's what I want to challenge you guys with today. Don't let your emotions become your reality of because you don't feel it, that it's not happening. That our experiences don't produce faith, but our faith produces experiences. And so even when it's hard and you're like, God, I don't feel it. I don't think anything of it. Like, you're not doing anything in my vision right now, but I trust you. And that comes from knowing the word. I think when you like put your hope in the word and that it's not just a suggestion and it's not like, I like Jeremiah 29:11. That's a pretty sweet verse. But this other one about, you know, this particular sin, shove that under the rug. When you like take it as a whole in what it really is and you put your faith in the man that wrote it and that this is what he says, your life is just going to radically change. One of my favorite parts of Senior Sunday last week is when we asked him when the Bible like came alive to them and like when they actually like dove into it, and like three or four of them all said winter camp, and Jocelyn and I were talking in the office about it. I was like, that's so awesome. I had no idea. But so go on winter camp. That's a plug for next year. But like digging into the word, and a lot of people said that it's because they actually use the word in everyday life. Like they got to see it and they got to use it, and reading scripture and learning how to apply it. And I think that's where faith is your foundation. Because if your faith is just wavering, you have nothing. But the word is solid and it doesn't change, and the God that wrote it doesn't change. So why not put your faith in it? What do you have to lose? You know, one time I was talking to a guy about Jesus, and he has this weird whacked out theory about that all of our consciousness are connected or something, and once we die, that the piece of me that talked to Allie is all of a sudden with Allie forever, and something weird like that. And there's so many different ideas out there. You guys probably hear them all the time in your high school halls. I know RV flooded with Mormons and other people. You know, like you have tons of different doctrines out there. But I just want to challenge you guys, like, know the word. Know it and base your faith on that. And when you see the word and you read it for yourself, and don't just have me read it or Chet or Jamie or one of your small group, like don't just listen to what we say, but figure it out for yourself. Look at it and apply it. And when you see those promises, when the enemy tries to come against you and he's like, God's not here in this situation, you'll be able to say, no, because I stand on the rock that is Jesus and the word, and he is my salvation alone. And so, when I was praying about today, I just felt like the Lord was saying that there's some wrong views that a lot of you have of him, that he's not a good dad. And I know we use that one a lot, but to really understand that the Lord is all that you need, and that you don't need a physical representation of a dad or a boyfriend or girlfriend or a friend or any of those things, like allowing him to be enough. And I think that we sometimes think that he doesn't fulfill us, but we don't necessarily allow him to. I found myself praying that this weekend. Lord, I want you to be enough for me. I want you to fulfill this hole in my heart that I'm not fully giving to you. And it's not because he's not doing it, but it's because I'm not allowing him to, because I'm not submitting my faith to him knowing that he's big enough. And so that's what I want to challenge you guys with today. Know who Jesus is, not just what you're told. Actually know him. Because it'll make all the difference in the world. It wasn't until I actually met a real man that sits on a real throne. Think about that, guys. He's like a real person. And he's sitting on a throne in heaven, and he is so eager and excited to come back and to take you and to meet you and to be with him forever in heaven. And we can have that kind of experience today through the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to have a little bit of ministry time. Can I have my, I think it's Lauren and Lily that are coming back up. But, and then the small group leaders, can we have like the ladies over here and our dudes over here? And when, I think this is a song that Lauren wrote, right? Get it. sorry. And I want you guys to like take a few minutes and to think, like, how do you really see Jesus? Like, ask yourself honestly, does he kind of look pieced together like this? Or is he a whole man that you're following and putting your faith in? Am I making sense? Are you tracking with me? Like, yeah? How are you feeling? You're tracking? You're tracking? Okay. And so ask. Ask yourself. Ask the Lord. Look in the Bible. And if you see something that you're like, I don't really think that God's my provider because I haven't seen it yet, I want you to pray for that. I want you to seek the Lord in that. And we have some awesome, incredible leaders that just love you guys so much. They just adore you. They pray for you. They are constantly available for you. I'll be over here with the rest of the ladies, and we have some awesome guys over here. It's the Red Party. And really meet Jesus now. I think there's some of you in this room that like kind of think that he looks like this. I don't want you to leave that way. Like, this is a place for encounter. If you can't be raw and real and messy here, then where can you be? This is church. This is the body. This is our community. And I want this to just be open doors for you guys to just be a mess if you need to be a mess, to be happy if you just need to throw a party and talk about how awesome Jesus is. Like, this is a safe place. And we might not have a necessarily designated youth pastor right now, but the Holy Spirit's here. Jesus, it's not Jesslyn or whoever that's up here lead. That's not who the leader of this group is. Jesus is the leader, no matter who's up on stage, whether we have a youth pastor or not. Like, Jesus is the one that's over you guys and is leading you. So maybe spread out along the room. If you need some paper, we can get you some if you want a journal. Like, I don't want you guys to leave the same. Leave different. I don't want to leave today the same. I want to leave different. So yeah, Lauren's going to lead us in a song and get some prayer for anything, everything. There's no shame here. There's no condemnation. No one's going to judge you. If you have like a secret sin built up inside, don't leave that. Like, leave it at the altar. Talk to a leader and leave free. There's power in the name of Jesus, and he brings freedom, right? So I'm just going to pray, and you guys can spread out and do your thing. So Jesus, we thank you for how holy and how good you are. Lord, that it's not dependent on our circumstances, that it's not dependent on what's happening in our lives and what people say, what people do. Jesus, that you're a real man that is mighty and that is awesome, that is coming back from us, and you're sitting on the throne, king over all. And Jesus, we want to know you for who you really are. We want to look you in the eye, Jesus. God, as the writers of Psalms say, that our heart would yearn for you, that we would thirst for the name of the Lord, and that we truly encounter you today, but that our encounter wouldn't be the basis of our faith, but that our faith in putting all of our hope in you would lead to these incredible experiences, Jesus. That we want to know you for you and not for what you can give us. And God, that we want to have a firm foundation in your promises and who you say you actually are. So Holy Spirit, that you would just increase in this room right now. That it's not about us, it's not about our friends, but Jesus, it's all about you. So Holy Spirit, anoint this time. Anoint these leaders with wisdom and understanding. And God, just give an open and vulnerable heart to each one of these students, Lord, that they would want to encounter you and know you for who you really are, Jesus. Amen.